Gospel of John, chapter 4. I'll begin reading at verse 20. I'll read through verse 24. My subject is saved, then worship. Saved, then worship. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And these words, as so very many in the scriptures, have so often been misinterpreted, misrepresented, and not understood. Saved and worship. Earlier in the chapter, there was a sinful woman whom the Lord saved. Of course, never is a righteous person that the Lord saves. It's always a sinful person that the Lord saved. Because he came to call sinners and not the righteous unto repentance. But since the Lord saved her, then we find that the Lord then gives her teachings concerning worshiping God. And so these teachings are just as important for people that the Lord saves today as it was back then, over 2,000 years ago, when Christ gave these instructions unto this one. And I believe that these instructions that were intended for her, that many of them are intended for us as well. Because, of course, the Samaritans did not worship as the Jews did. And so Christ told her, said that, why, in the mount where ye worship, nor in Jerusalem are you going to be able to, because of course Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. But then we find how that the Lord built his church, and then worshiping God was to be done in and through the Lord's kind of church.
Amen.
And so the Lord begins to teach here some things that continue on throughout the scriptures. And so the central theme here, I believe at this point in Christ's conversation unto the Samaritan woman, the central theme was that of worship. And Christ tells her whom to worship and how to worship. And so that's still very needful today, because there are those, as with all of the subjects of the Bible, probably, we hear a variety of people's explanations and beliefs concerning what salvation is that is not according to the Bible. Well, we also hear, I'm sure, many kinds of explanations and beliefs concerning what worship is. And so many have their own ideas of what worship is and how worship is to be done. And, of course, in most cases, they don't very much agree with you when you tell them what the Bible says. But then the Lord, he's the one, as we read in this passage, that seeks worshipers of him.
Amen.
He seeks them. And so how very wonderful that the Lord seeks sinners to bring them unto salvation, and then he seeks those in whom he sought to salvation, he seeks them to worship him.
Amen.
And so it's wonderful that the Lord is interested in how and whom we do worship. So the people of God ought to be as interested as well. Many there are that call themselves worshipers of God who are not.
Sorry.
And there are many who worship whom they do not know. Because we find that many that call themselves worshipers of God who are not, they do not meet the standards of the scriptures. that Jesus stated here in this passage of Scripture. Now, no one who does not actually draw near to the Father in living fellowship, so there has to be first the relationship, but then anyone who does not actually draw near to the Father in living fellowship, an affectionate appreciation to His eternal name, does not worship God.
That's right.
Somebody that I believe is a continuous abuser of the name of God, a misuser of the name of God, I don't believe they worship God. I don't believe that they do. Right. They may say they do. They may go to a church. They may go to a place that is called a church. And so the worship of God is in contrast with all carnality and fleshliness.
Right.
And so probably a great percentage of what many people call worship today, that rules that out.
Right.
Right.
Because that's all that it has to do with is carnality and fleshliness. From the Old Testament through the New, we find teachings on the worship of God. The patriarchs of old worshiped God. Back in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Genesis 22 and verse 5. When God had called Abraham to take his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah, here we find something that Abraham said. Verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, "Bide here, ye with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And so there was something about it that God put in His people even a long time ago, and He still does today, that has a great need to worship the Lord.
Amen.
And anyone who says, of course we hear it oftentimes as well, people say, "Well, I can worship God anywhere." Well, that's not taught in the Scriptures either.
That's right. Amen.
You cannot worship God anywhere any more than you can worship Him the way that you want to.
Right.
Because God doesn't seek just anyone to worship Him that's going to go off and take some ideas, theology of people that's contrary to the teachings of the Word of the Lord, to worship Him, and then He would call it acceptable. This is not what's going to happen. Abel, Job, all of God's people were taught of the Lord to worship Him.
Sorry.
And so it was not that they were without the teachings of God, and certainly neither are people today. Sorry. They were taught to worship the Lord, and then of course they were taught to not bow down to false gods.
Right.
And then you run into where that people will say, "Well, the God that I worship is only a false god as far as your opinion is concerned." Well, it's not our opinion, it's against what thus saith the Lord has given to us in His Word.
Amen.
To draw near to the Lord, not with words only, but with the heart, in sincerity and in truth, this is what is involved with worshiping God. Now, there are many who want to give worship unto someone else. And then there are those who want to be worshiped. Because we find even in the Gospel of Luke that Satan wanted to be worshiped. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 7, and a lot of people do worship Satan. They may not all admit to it, but they do. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 7, this of course relating unto Christ in the wilderness, temptation there, and we read in verse 7, "If thou," back up verse 6, "and the devil said unto him, all this authority will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it, and that's not in the power of Satan to do. If thou, therefore, will worship me, all shall be thine. So what do we have to say about the words of the devil? Well, he is lying.
Right.
He is lying because all that he had didn't belong to him.
Right.
And so even Satan wants worship. In Acts 17:23, you remember the story concerning there, Paul on Mars Hills, he had seen so many different kinds of statues of different beings that folks were calling them gods and worshiping. And then there was one that was the unknown gods. The Athenians did not know what they worshiped.
That's right.
Now, it would have been a difficult time to have argued with them about the fact that they didn't know whom they worshiped because they thought they were a great, intelligent culture and people. In those wonderful chapters in the book of Psalms, 95 verse 6, let us worship and bow down unto the Lord. 99:5, worship at his footstool. Not someone else's, but at his. And of course that has to do with bowing down unto him. It has to do with a submission and a surrender unto him. In Romans 1:25, Paul had a great rebuke concerning the unregenerate, and he said, some worship the creature more than the creator. Mm-hmm. They did. And Paul knew that. And we know this as well. You see, the scriptures tell us, we related to it. You remember the 20th chapter of Exodus dealing with the commandments of God, known as the Ten Commandments. And the first one began with, worship is for God alone and for no other.
Amen.
For him alone and for no other. So that will actually place a lot of people out of the category of being true worshipers of God, if you will. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, this of course again relates unto the temptation of Christ, Matthew 4 and verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, begone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, does this mean that everybody that says that they worship God is actually worshipers of God and serving him? No. Because we find here that Christ directly stated unto Satan that he was not worshiping God. So people follow that very same teaching and they do not worship God. And some, again, want to be worshiped. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 26, Acts chapter 10, and verse 26, we find another great reference concerning worship. And the scriptures read here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. So was this correct? Absolutely not. But Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And so worship doesn't belong unto a man whatsoever. Doesn't belong unto a human being. Doesn't belong unto Satan. Doesn't belong unto false gods. Belongs unto the God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now here it is, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the Bible very well establishes the fact that we are to worship God, and we are to worship God only.
Amen.
Then the Bible also establishes the fact that God calls us to worship. He calls us to worship. Because I believe that just as when the Lord seeks a sinner to save them by His grace, He calls them, so also when He seeks those to worship Him, He calls them to worship.
Right.
The Bible tells us in John 9 and verse 31, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." This is just one of the results of worshiping God, or one of the benefits of worshiping God. So a lot of people say, well, I pray, they don't worship God. Does God hear them?
What?
According to this, that is not so. God commands us to worship. He calls us, He commands us to worship. So the worship service of the Lord definitely is not a time of play.
Right.
It's not a playtime. The house of God is not a playhouse.
Right.
True worship is not false worship, nor the other way around. Now, believers who worship God must do according to, first of all, His nature. So what kind of nature does God have? He has a holy nature. The Bible tells us that He is holy. He is to be worshipped in a manner that is agreeable to His will, that is suitable to His nature. Another two things that we note here is that there is first worship, the act of worshiping God. Second, there are the worshipers, those who are involved with worshiping God. And most of the time, anymore, I suppose that a lot of places are calling it celebration services and different things rather than worship services. You read on church signs and such, they had the time of services, and it would say at one of them it would be called a worship service. Well, really and truly, all of the services that bring honor and glory unto the Lord are worship services.
Right.
Now, the best teaching, the greatest light, has been supplied by our Lord Jesus Christ upon the subject of worship.
Amen.
And, of course, the greatest teaching and the greatest light has been supplied by the Lord on all the subjects of the Bible.
Amen.
Much has been said on the subject of worship and worshipers by philosophers, theologians, poets, but not like what Jesus stated.
Amen.
Far too many folks are ignorant of these truths. Some of them, they are willingly ignorant, and many are rejecting of what Christ has taught. Now again, Jesus tells us whom we are to worship, and then He tells us how we are to worship.
Right.
We worshiped whom Christ has revealed to us, and He reveals Himself.
Amen.
He doesn't reveal to us that we are to worship ourselves or Satan or any false being or God that many are worshiping today. God, the divine being, spiritual in nature, only He is to be the proper object of our worship. Now, how we worship Him was not left up to that Samaritan woman. Jesus didn't say, well, just worship me any way that you want to. And of course, some folks aren't interested in worshiping the Lord. A lot of folks aren't interested in worshiping the Lord, even though they come to the services of the Lord. They have no intention of worshiping God. They don't care about worshiping God. And They many times are distractful to those who seek to worship God. How we worship Him is not for our own devising, nor is it to be by the superstitions of others.
Right.
Lots of things have been deemed acceptable as far as worshiping God. But in contrast, here's what Christ said. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Why is that? Because God is a spirit. He is not something that you can handle with the hands of the flesh. Oh, that's so very wonderful to be that way because of the fact that people would do all manner of things to Him, but He is not flesh in that sense. The power and will to worship God is given to us.
Amen, brother.
We don't call upon it of ourselves.
Amen.
The power and will is of Him.
Amen. Right.
It is manifested, true worship will manifest itself in the lives of the people of God. In other words, yes. Going to the services and then that's it. And nowhere else in our life do we manifest that we love the Lord, well then, worshiping has been in vain.
That's right.
We must not let human customs dictate how we are to worship God.
Right.
When we meet, it's always to be directed by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, God makes us able to worship Him. And it's wonderful that God not only commands our worship, not only calls us to worship, but within that call, I believe, is also the fact that He invites us to
Amen.
Worship Him.
Amen.
Now, He seeks believing worshipers. He seeks devout worshipers. How can we withhold from God that which He seeks from us and which He calls us to do? And so, by God's help, let us not be tempted to abandon worshiping the Lord and forsake to do what the Lord does give to us in His Word.
Amen.
Now again, Christ told this woman here. He told her concerning the subject of worship. And He said, while there's a lot of it going on with the Samaritans and with the Jews, one had one place, the others had another place. But yet we find that the Lord said, ye worship, ye know not what.
Right.
And I dare say that if you were to say that unto some folks, you know, that really think that they themselves are worshipers of God, that ye worship, ye know not what, I don't think they would be very happy about it.
Right.
Well, I don't know whether she was happy about it or whether she wasn't. But Jesus knew all things concerning her life
right. And
all that she had done. And then the things that she had said and what she was saying, whether they were true or whether they were untrue. And so Christ told her, said, ye worship, ye know not what. Now the Jews thought that they were worshiping God according to His command. Well, they had done this back in the Old Testament too. Mm-hmm. Even when that they had the temple, even when that they had the tabernacle. And they had all of the different sacrifices and offerings that God had given unto them. And they would continue at times with those sacrifices and offerings in those designated places. But they only drew near to God with their lips and not their lives. We have seen so oftentimes in the Word of the Lord. And so, were they really worshiping God? No, they were not. God told them that they were not.
Right.
In fact, in Proverbs 15:8, the Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Okay. Folks say, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does, according to the Scriptures.
Right.
To worship in spirit and in truth is opposite of external rites, of external ceremonies, of fleshly desires. Now, in order to worship God, one must be in the Spirit. They must first have the Spirit of God, and then they must be in the Spirit. By that, I mean to say that they are to be in fellowship with the Lord.
Sure.
Some folks, they come into the services of the Lord, and their mindsets are absolutely nowhere about worshiping God. And then they expect God to bless them. Well, it's very important that we not only know where to worship the Lord, but how to worship Him.
Amen.
Now, worship is an action. It is an action. It is not involuntary on our part. And certainly, worship is an action because of the new birth that God's people have experienced. And that action stretches forth unto God. God being a spirit, not material, not consigned to a body composed of parts such as we are so familiar with. But He wants the offering of the soul. But He says, well, we give offerings. That's to follow. But our souls are to be offered unto the Lord.
Amen.
He wants our hearts, not just our words.
Right.
Again, remember that worship is an action growing out of a new nature. When Jesus said what He did unto some that had come to Him, they told Him, well, have we not done one thing after another in the name of Jesus? And they had performed so many different kinds of works in the name of Christ. And they thought they were doing God a service. And no doubt they thought that they were worshiping God. Well, were they? I believe the words of Christ laid out very clearly. He said, I know you not. So how could they worship Him? Because He seeks those who worship Him.
Amen.
So God seeks His people, saved people, that they may worship Him. And it's wonderful to know that He does, because otherwise we wouldn't do it.
Right.
And we are to worship Him with a sincere worship, with an intelligent worship.
Amen.
Right. In other words, just like the old saying, you ask some people, well, what does your church believe? Well, I don't know, but I believe it. Believe what they believe. And some people, if you were to ask them, what is work, do you worship God? Oh, sure, I worship God. There's all kinds of different ways that they live. And all kinds of different things they do. And all kinds of different places that they go. Jesus did not say to the Samaritan woman that there were two places of worship. And He did not say that there are two ways of worship. There are two aspects of worship, in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Right.
Each and every child of God should examine their hearts whether or not they are able to worship the Lord as they should, as what God finds acceptable and pleasing unto Him.
Amen.
Did you know that worshiping God is a needed food for our souls.
Amen, brother.
A needed food for our souls. In other words, it's something that we cannot do without.
That's right.
And thankfully, that is so.
Amen.
No wonder the psalmist was so brokenhearted when he was not near the house of the Lord
right.
to go and to worship. And no wonder that he was so full of gladness, spiritual gladness, when he said, let us go unto the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And so it seems that coming together to so-called worshiping God today by many is more on the side of social gatherings than anything else. And this is not worshiping God. Now that's just how God lays it out in His Word. There is no place for anything except spiritual worship of the Lord and His services.
Amen.
The church is no place for social entertainment. or fleshly activities. It is to be a place of serious meditation.
Amen.
It is a place to learn the things of Christ.
Right.
We ought to honor Him on His day. And so very few spend any amount of time in trying to learn the things of Christ. If people do not intend to do what is prescribed by God's Word, then they will not worship Him, and what and how they do worship is all in vain.
Right.
We do not worship in a superstitious fashion. We worship God in the services of the Lord in a way in which every child of God can worship Him.
Amen.
It doesn't matter their age. Every one of them can worship Him.
That's right.
You can't worship with your hands or eyes and nose. They're the flesh. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
It must be that worshiping God is according to the revealings of what God tells us in His Word in order to be pleasing to Him. When we come to the worship services of the Lord, we are to bear in mind that we are all gathered together in the presence of God.
Amen, brother. Right.
You know, used to, ministers used to say that at people's weddings. And I don't know, maybe some still do. I think I would. I have. And yet we find that many think that they are coming together in the presence of God to worship Him, and they have no intention whatsoever of doing what the Lord's Word says.
Right.
Now, another thing that we learn about the worship of God is that the worship of God is needed because it shows our gratefulness unto the Lord.
Amen.
It shows the fact that we rejoice in the faithfulness of God, in His love and righteousness, and in His goodness. In Psalms chapter 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all those who are about Him.
Uh-huh.
That's the way that it ought to be in the service of the Lord.
Right.
Doesn't say anything about worship services are fun. The worship services are a place in which we are to fear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you read these verses, you cannot help but think, and cannot help but know that the one in whom was writing these words, as God had given them to him, knew something about worshiping God.
Amen.
Well, this one as well knew something about not worshiping God. And sadly, so do we. We know what it is to worship God. We know what it is to not worship God. There's a lot of showmanship in many services that are referred to as worship services. What we need is the spiritual singing unto the Lord of grateful hearts.
Amen.
We don't need anything that's showing off things of the flesh. David was glad when he said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And he desired for everyone else to be glad.
Amen.
In going unto the house of the Lord. It is the will of God that we should worship Him. Revelation chapter 4. In verse 10, Revelation chapter 4, and verse 10, the Bible tells us this. The 24 elders fall down before Him that is seated on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. Now, I believe that that's going to happen for every child of God one day. Verse 20. Excuse me. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together concerning the house of the Lord. Why is that? Because worshiping God must be something that people do not set aside and do in a sporadic fashion.
Right.
I said, well, I worship him at home. That's not enough.
Right.
You have to go to the house of the Lord, the Lord's house. It's a sin not to worship God.
Right.
And so, if it's a sin, and the Bible says that if we do not believe, then we sin. Anything that is not done of faith is sin. Then we must have to worship God by faith.
Amen.
And we do.
Amen. Right.
We worship him by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do it according to the dictates of our fleshly desires.
That's right.
But it says, well, and folks are coming up all the time with different ways in which to worship God. And they say, well, this is how we do it. We believe that this is the way that it should be done. And if you were to go, it'd be the biggest show, the biggest entertainment, the biggest crowds, and the Lord wouldn't be there.
Right.
The one object of worship is the Lord.
Amen.
And so bear in mind again, it has to be according to his nature, and he is holy. So the call today for God's people is still to worship the true and the living God.
Right.
And may we seek to do that for his honor, for his glory, by his grace.
Amen.
Lord's blessings be upon the message.